going to share with you today's verse. I pray that as I share the word, it will speak to you. Last week, we talked about the parables of the hidden treasure. In that parable, Jesus used different parables. And what are parables? Parables are just short stories or illustrations or figurative stories that he used to explain to the audience at that time to bring about a moral value, a principle, so that the people will understand. Today, we are going to look into another parable. So, when Jesus tells parables, it tells slightly differently. Parables that he uses everyday examples. Like, let's say, for example, the people then are farmers. So, he uses examples of farmers or carpenters, maybe certain things to do with carpenters. So, things that they can relate with. And when he shared that parable, usually there are some responses. Different crowd have different responses. And I pray that today, as I share today's parable, there will be different responses to this. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this parable of the sower. Jesus used this parable trying to explain to them certain things. So let me give you a context first. You know, where this happened. So Jesus started his ministry. So he started to heal people. He started to do miracles, cast out demons. And there are people that is following him. And he has 12 disciples. So basically, this is what happened. Jesus came out from a house. And there is this group of people that is following him, waiting for him. This group of people, who are they? They are people that healed by Jesus. Okay, they heard of Jesus' good news. And maybe in this group, there are people that experience his miracles. In this group, there are children also. So these are the group of people that is following Jesus at that time. So when he came out from this house, and this house is in front of a lake. Imagine with me this lake. If you've been to New Zealand, I heard there's this huge lake, beautiful lake, and behind is a mountain. And when you look at the lake, it's the mirror of the mountain. And it's so beautiful. Imagine with me, this is the situation. Come out from the house and this beautiful lake. And there's these people that is following Jesus. So Jesus went on a boat because he tried to distance himself away so that he can speak to everyone. At that time, there is no mic, there is no speakers. He used the wind or the natural loudspeaker to share this verse. And this is what Jesus said in parable of the sower. In Matthew 13, verse 3, it says, "Then he told them many things in parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow the seed. And he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Then, in verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. And thirdly, other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants." And verse 8, it says, "Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what was sown." But when Jesus told them a parable, the people didn't understand. Why? Because maybe some of them are farmers, or at least they know someone that is a farmer. So they know that farmers usually will go out and scatter the seeds. Because at that time, the technology is not there, so they will scatter. So wherever it fell, then hopefully the seed will grow. Then when Jesus talked about those that fall on the path, the birds come and eat it, the hearers at that time also understand. They understand that the frustration of when I sow the seed and then the birds come and eat it all away. At the same time, they understand the joy. They know the joy that when the seeds that they planted grow and then it produces crops, it produces more fruits. They understand the joy. So when Jesus was telling this parable, those people were nodding. Ah, means they understand. Okay? But today, when I tell you this parable, none of you are nodding because none of you understand. Right? So difficult to understand. But I was imagining this. If Jesus was here today, at this moment, in Malaysia, in this season, what kind of parable will he use? Now, what season is this? It's the durian season. So, and in Malaysia, durian is so famous. So, he will use the durian example. He will use durian as a parable, right? There are different groups of people. Either you love durian or you hate durian. And my prayer today is this, that at the end of today's message, that all of you will love durian. And at the same time, Whenever you all ate a durian, you all will remember this parable, which is the parable of the sower. So I'll try to use it to illustrate. So when you look at this verse, what is it trying to mean? So in verse 18 onwards, Jesus did explain what does this parable means. When Jesus explained, the farmer here represents God. And God, his character is his loving. In the Bible in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And God wants all of us to have eternal life because he loves us so much. It talks about his love that is never endless. That is who the farmer is. The farmer loves everyone. And he don't specifically sow, because he knows that if I sow on the hard ground, for sure it won't grow. Or if I scatter on the thorny ground, it might get choked and all those kind of things. But no, he says that despite whichever ground it is, I will continue to sow. And that is the intention of the farmer, or that's the intention of God. So God loves all of us. And the seed here, it means the word of God. And he wants every one of us here to hear the word of God. But the difference is the type of soil that is there. So just now, as we see in that verse, it talks about there is the path, there is the rocky soil, there is the thorny soil, and at the end, there is the good soil. So these are the different soil. Jesus shared the message, but each person has a different type of heart or different season of their life. So here I have here the durian example to share with you all. What does it mean to be that farmer? Okay, so here I have a durian seed. I've kept this durian seed for, I think, a week plus. So it already germinated. And this is what happened when Jesus shared this parable. So it says that the seed fell on a path, which is a hard path. And if you can see in verse 18, it says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path." This seed was on the path. And here it says that the birds came and ate it. And what is it trying to say? This is the soil that is hardened. Why is it hardened? Sometimes it is hardened because we continue to sin, and our hearts become immune to the word of God. Whoever speaks doesn't even speak to us anymore. Our hearts become hardened. At the same time, maybe it's because of pride. I have made it so far without God. Why do I need God now? So that is the hardened heart. And thirdly, maybe it's because of past experience. Maybe you look at the life of certain Christians, and you see that, I don't want to have a life like that. And because of those past experiences, you have hardened your heart. I will no longer accept the word of God. And this is what he's trying to say, the hardened heart. So when this seed fall on the hardened heart, it says the birds came and ate it away. And what does the bird represent in this parable? Here it says, the evil one comes and snatches away. The Bible tells us in John 10:10, the devil, the thief, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he knows that the seed is good. He knows that the word of God is good because the outcome from the fruit of the Spirit is peace, joy, kindness, you have patience, and the different fruits of the Spirit. The devil knows that it is good for you. But before it gets to germinate, before it gets rooted, he snatches it away first. That's what happened to a hardened heart. And what can we do? If today we have a hardened heart, in Ezekiel 36:26, it says that, ask God to give us a new heart, to take away the heart of stone, but give us a heart of flesh, that God will start to soften our hearts again, so that as the seed germinate, as the root penetrate, it will be able to go into our hearts, and we will be able to accept the word of God again. And that's really the first one. And I call it the hardened heart. So, our hearts is already hardened. Moving on, in Matthew 13, verse 5, this is the second type of soil, okay? And it says here, some fell on rocky places, and it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. And this is what Jesus explained. He says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears. If you look into the four different types of soil, all of them here, same like us, all of us hear the word of God. But it depends on what is our soil that makes the difference. The seed falling on rocky grounds refer to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When the trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. What happened was this. This seed was sown, but it was sown on rocky grounds where there's not much soil. So maybe there's no root. Maybe the root is very shallow only. So let's say, for example, today, this seed, if I decide just to continue leave it on this Tupperware, what will happen? It will die because there is no soil, there is no nutrients, there is nothing. It can germinate, but then it will not grow. So this is what happens when the Word of God is planted on shallow grounds. I call this the shallow heart. Moving on, in verse 6, it says that when the sun came up, sun will come up every day. Whether you like it, you do not like it, the sun will come up every day. Okay? The sun will either nourish the plant, or in this case, it kills the plant. So what does the sun here represent? It represents persecution will come. Troubles will come. Anyone of you have never experienced before trouble in your life, or never experienced before persecution in your life? All of us have. It will come. Persecution, troubles will come. But it depends on how deep your root. When persecution comes, it will either strengthen you or it will kill you spiritually. It's either one. So it depends on how deep your root is. But how can I grow these roots? Let me share you a story. I accepted Christ in 2001. Okay, when I was a student, I accepted Christ in 2001. So at that time, my friends, some of them are Christians, so they go to this thing called CF, Christian Fellowship. So when I go, I heard the good news and I receive it with joy. Once I receive it with joy, then persecution comes. I'm from a Buddhist family. My parents are very staunch Buddhists. And they are against me going to church. And because of that persecution, I do not have deep roots. Or maybe no roots at that time yet. And when persecution comes, my faith dies. I don't go to church. I no longer read the Bible and all those. And that's how my heart was at that time. A shallow heart. There is no roots in it. Then 4 years later, I met Pastor Sean through his sister. The sister was my classmate. So at that time, my faith started to grow again. That was in my second year, third year of degree. So when I was with Pastor Sean, we do something called one-to-one. We have live group. Then I started to go to church once a while. My parents still don't allow, but somehow I managed to go. Then I go to live group, go for a prayer meeting, go for a service. And my faith start to deepen. My spiritual roots start to grow deepen. And I start to grow. And I start to have faith. And I start to understand what are the things that Jesus trying to teach us. And even when I first accepted Christ, I remember when it come to Christmas, all the while I thought Christmas is about Santa Claus. Until someone told me, Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's about the birth of Jesus. Then I start to grow. And we started this church. And at that time, after I finished my uni, I started work. I work in this shipping company as a sales. So at that time, that company has very good entertainment budget. And the bosses expect that we entertain our customers. Their way of entertaining is either go massage, drinking, prostitution, bribing, and these different ways. And at that time, because I already have that root start to grow, and I know that these are things that I cannot do and I should not do. So I told them, no, I don't do all these kind of things. I remember my assistant manager is quite against Christianity. He was very close with the junior vice president. So he went to a junior vice president because it's the junior vice president that hired me. And I asked the junior vice president, where did you find this guy? Everything I asked him to do, cannot do one. How to do sales like that? So I remember for the first 6 months, I struggled because he was asking me, come, follow me. I said, I don't go. I don't do this. I don't do that. Then everything done. So I have this huge book where it's all the manufacturers in Malaysia. So every day I'll call 100 plus companies, I'll call one by one and ask whether they want shipping service. So eventually, without entertainment, I'm able to gain my own set of clientels. And there are clients that don't need this. They just need you to give them a good service and they will support you. So eventually, I was there in the company for 5 years and then I went back to work for my family business. So as the time goes, I become very close with them. And they understand that now you do not need to entertain, but you are still able to meet your target. So for 5 years, I don't do whatever that they ask me to do, but I do it differently. I remember at that time, persecution came, but then because my roots is already deepened, and I recognize that I need to hold on faith. There is nothing that is impossible. So how can we deepen our roots, spiritual roots? First is by our daily quality time with God. We spend time to read God's word and spend time to pray. At the same time, we go to life group. We go for service. And also, like Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we are going to have our prayer meeting. We come together. And as we pray, I believe that God will break certain ground. And the word of God will just grow in our heart as we come and as we seek God more. And we will grow. The spiritual root will start to grow. And that is what I call the shallow heart, the second type of heart. So the first ground is the hard ground, where the seed is there, the enemy come and steal it away. The second ground is where it's a shallow ground, where the roots cannot penetrate, or there is no roots at all. At the same time, if you look into examples like cactus, the cactus, you see, some cactus can be 3 or 4 inches high in the desert, but their roots is about 2 meters wide. So the strength of a plant, it depends on how deep is their roots. So I encourage you to deepen and strengthen your spiritual roots. That's the second one. And third one, here it says that other seed fell among thorns, which grew and choked up the plants. So as we plant that durian seed, it is good soil. It starts to grow. But at the same time, as it grows, the different weeds, the different things start to choke it. Okay, it starts to take away the nutrients. So the plants start to die. And Jesus explained, what does this mean? In verse 22, it says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. It says, when the word of God came into our heart, but we have different worries, and that choke us. And also, secondly, it talks about the deceitfulness of wealth. There are things that always come to your mind. What if this happened? What if that happened? What if today I decided to follow what Aaron said? Let's go to Tuesday prayer meeting. My boss asked me OT. I told my boss, no OT. I'm coming for prayer meeting. But what if I come to prayer meeting and lost that promotion? So at that time, as a sales, and I struggled for 6 months before I got my first client. So during that time, what if I don't do this and I will never ever get a client? What if? There's a lot of what if. And that will choke that word of God, that seed to grow. And of course, some of you are family, some of you are students. I have 3 kids. I remember Natalie, my eldest one, recently, he was playing scissors in the class and then the teacher take it away. So we asked her, no, you need to go and ask the teacher, say sorry and ask it back. So she said, no, this teacher, very fierce one, will not give back, right? He worried that what if teacher scold him? What if teacher whack him? Scared, okay? But eventually, we asked her, no, you just go and try, apologize, and see whether teacher give you back. If don't give, then don't give. You give, then give. So she went and tried, and she managed to get her scissors back. So there is a lot of what if that come into our mind. Just now we said about the seed. The seed is good. The word of God is good because it teaches to be patient, to be kind, to be gentle, and all those different fruit of the Spirit. But then, when the devil comes and tries to snatch that away, there is the verse that God says in Psalm, we are wonderfully and fearfully created. And God created us perfect. And He created us the way that we want to be. But then, the worries of life came. What if I'm not pretty enough? What if I'm not good-looking enough? What if my classmates do not like me? What if my boss don't like me? And these things start to come into your mind. And it choked the word of God, which is meant to be good. And that is what worries of life here means. And secondly, it talks about the deceitfulness of wealth. In Matthew 6, 24, it says, you cannot serve both God and money. It's either God or it's either money. You cannot serve both together. And we need wealth, definitely, as we go through life, but we cannot let wealth to be the priority of our life. I just recently read this. It says that you cannot serve both God and money. It is not a question of advisability. If that's the case, then it becomes a priority choice. And the next is, it's not a question of accountability. Then it becomes a moral choice. Should I not? When Jesus said that verse, is a question of impossibility. It is impossible for you to serve both God and money at the same time. What can we do? So the third heart, I call it the strangled heart. It's strangled by all the worries of life. Sitting here, we are worried about tomorrow, all these kind of things. What can we do? We can submit it to God. We can learn to trust God. In Matthew 6, 26, the Bible says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? You know, God will provide our needs. We need to work hard, but we do not need to worry. And last one is this. In Matthew 13, verse 8, it says, still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word of God and understands it. This is one who produced a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. What is the goal of this seed? Not as you plant the seed, the goal of the seed is to be fruitful. In Galatians 5:23, it says that the fruit of the Spirit, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Peace, joy, love. Then it talks about kindness, it talks about goodness, it talks about patience, it talks about faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. It talks about all this. It says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is, as the Word of God is planted in our hearts, all this will grow. I remember when I was young, I was not someone that is very kind or very gentle. Who knows me best is your siblings, especially my younger brother and younger sister. So whenever I'm at home, I will tell my brother, can you take water for me? Or can you take food for me? Or can you help me do this? Can you help me do that? So I always bully them, or I'm not kind to them. As I know God, as the Word of God start to speak to me, it start to grow, start to deepen, then I start to learn. I need to be kind, need to be careful with the way that I talk to my parents, how I treat my siblings, how I treat the people around me. It starts to change. As I look back, I see the changes in me. Same to you. Standing here doesn't mean I'm perfect, doesn't mean that I am a person that has open heart. Each person, I have my seasons of my life. There are times when I have a hardened heart, certain issue, I just don't let God speak into my heart. And that is really the time that I need to ask God to soften my heart. There are times where I have a shallow heart, where the roots didn't penetrate deep in. There are times that I worry about my kids, how they will grow up, will they follow God, and all those things. Worries of life. And at the same time, there are times where I have an open heart, when God really spoke to me. So standing here doesn't mean that I only have one type of heart. But there are different seasons that we have different types of heart. And here, the seed is good. The farmer is good. But it's the different type of hearts that we have here today. The goal of the seed is to bear fruits, to be like this orchard where the tree that is fruitful. This is where each seed wants to grow, to be that way. But then, what is today, as I end this today's message, how is the condition of your heart? Is it hardened? Is the word of God already planted, but there is no root? When persecution comes, your faith dies? Or is it the strangled heart? Now you are full of worries. You're worried about what will happen tomorrow, what will happen next week, what will happen a month from now, what will happen to my career, and all those kind of things. And lastly, do you have a good soil or an open heart where when the word of God is being shared to you, it will grow and will be fruitful?